All right. Hey, friend of the show, Pat Smith, back. Really appreciate you taking the time. Pat, you are, of course, co-host Three Man Front down on Jocks Radio, the number one station, not just for sports talk in Alabama, but in my opinion, the entire country. So really appreciate you taking the time. And of course, you co-create a show some people may have heard of. It's called the Paul Feinbaum Show. Pat, how's it going?
Oh, things are great. Just been registering a lot of voters here in the state of Alabama because you never know what's going to happen with the political out future for this great state of mine that I live in. So, just having some fun.
Absolutely. Well, hey, again, anytime things start burning on the plains,
oh boy,
I can't help but think of a Three Man Front and some of the crazy things I've said on there. But yeah, I appreciate you.
Well, you say
the way.
Crazy. They might be prophetic, you know? We got to wait and see what happens.
Absolutely. And to quote a wise man, Pat Smith, I got some numbers here for you.
Hugh
Freeze, year three, he's 8 games under 500 in the SEC. He started 0-4 in conference in 23. He started 0-4 in 24. Yeah. And now he's 0-2, staring down the barrel of two top 10, potentially top 10 teams coming to town. What's the current state of football in the Plains?
Well, there's a lot of anxious folks down there because this was the year. This was supposed to be the year of turning the corner, so to speak. The roster looks like one of the best SEC rosters that Auburn's had in quite some time. Unfortunately, the offense has just not read the script because the offense has been, after the Baylor game, it's been really difficult to watch. They're really not sure the identity that they want to have on this football team, Michael, and that's the thing that's frustrating a lot of fans. They don't want to hear their head coach do press conferences and talking about how, look, we're going to tear everything down and we're going to kind of figure out what's going to happen to move forward. And, you know, year three, this is not supposed to be happening now. This is supposed to be, you know, granted, you go to Norman, tough place. Kyle Field, even tougher place. But the bottom line is that this offense scored 3 points in College Station. He's the good quarterback guru. That's why he was hired at Auburn. And this offense, since he has been at the helm, is averaging 27 points a game. That's over 3 years in Auburn. 27 points. That would put him around 10th or 11th in the SEC overall in scoring offense. So needless to say, they got to get things turned around in a hurry. They got to figure out what that identity is moving forward.
Why doesn't he just change offensive play caller?
Which one? There's three of them, Mike. Don't you know that? You got a first down, you got a second down, you got a third down. But if you're watching the game in College Station, it looked like with him holding up the play card, it looked like to me he was the one that was calling all the plays. So, you know, but all kidding aside, the offensive line was supposed to be one of their strengths, Michael, and it's been a disaster the first 2 games in the Southeastern Conference. So they got a lot to work on this bye week. There's a lot of football left, and I'm not proclaiming that Hugh Freeze is going to be fired if he loses to Georgia, but I will tell you, someone very close to the Auburn program told me this week that he is definitely feeling the most pressure that he has felt since he's been on the Plains. And on top of that, the next 2 games are going to be kind of a harbinger of things to come, how the Auburn faithful and maybe the people that sign his paychecks decide on the future of Hugh Freeze at Auburn.
Right. Well, I mean, he's running out of people to throw under the bus, so to speak. And, you know, the last year was the quarterback, it was turnovers. And now
don't forget about Philip Montgomery, who was calling plays before. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I mean, now I get it. They got these elite receivers. Everybody was excited about, but, heck, it's himself that said we need to run the football. And then they, for whatever reason, decide not to run the football. I mean, there's no one left to blame, is there?
Well, and that's another frustrating part to what the fan base is looking at. So you have success running your quarterback at the Baylor game. And listen, everyone understands that they did what they needed to do to win at Baylor. And that's what Dave Aranda's defense was giving them, run the football. Well, since that point, they were making an emphasis of Jackson Arnold staying in the pocket. But then all of a sudden, he's holding on to the football too long. And that was some of the things that we heard out of the Norman loss. And then he goes into the game against Texas A&M and he says that we need to make a concerted effort to run the football more. 8 times, Michael, the ball was handed to the running backs. 8 times in that football game. That's a problem. So they have to do something in a hurry to try to reestablish themselves as a running game, because as we all know, football 101, if you can run the football, that's going to open up your passing game. And so that's what they need to do. That's what I think Hugh Freeze wants to do. But for whatever reason, the offense just not has clicked yet.
Mm-hmm. And then, again, they're 2 plays from being 5-0. I don't know if you've heard that, but
I heard that on a press conference. I did.
So I get Georgia, that looms large, but
yeah,
I know we don't just throw our hands up and say, yeah, well, we'll just lose to Georgia because we can't beat Georgia. I know the expectation, and they play them, you know, if not for Brock Bowers 2 years ago, what was it? They would have beat him.
Very true.
I think if Georgia wins by a field goal, I don't think that's going to be very stunning. And I don't think that's cause for firing Hugh Freeze. But what happens, Pat, if I know in Alabama, they're very knowledgeable on college football, but if what happens if they lose to Georgia and then the next game, Missouri comes in there and wins by, you know, 10 or more points, which I think is, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I think it's very well could. As good as Missouri is on paper, I don't think that any Auburn fan is going to find that acceptable.
No, they're not. And just like if Vanderbilt pulls an upset this weekend at Bryant-Denny Stadium for the second year in a row coming after a Georgia win, there's going to be a lot of Alabama fans that's going to be asking serious questions about Kalen DeBoer. That's just the nature of the state that I live in. But in regards to Hugh Freeze, I go back to something I said at the beginning of this interview, is that the people that I talk to at Auburn, they feel that the next two games are going to tell a lot about what is potentially going to happen or not happen with Hugh Freeze. I'm not proclaiming that he's going to get fired with a Georgia loss. I'm not saying he's going to get lost if he or get fired if he loses both of them. But I have just been told that the next two games is really going to be a really good litmus test, a barometer of where this program is, because the talent is there. And it's just like Kalen DeBoer losing some games that he had no reason losing to, like Oklahoma last year. That's when the fans and the alums that write these big checks start going, what are we doing here? Like, we've invested $20 million in this football roster at Auburn. We're paying you, yeah, almost $7 million a year. But you know what? We can write a check for $16.75 million and not have to pay you in the next 30 days. And we can move on and find another coach to come in here and deal with this stuff. So a lot of things are going to be telling in the next couple of weeks with this Auburn football program. Without question, Michael, the talent is there. For whatever reason, it just hasn't meshed together just right. And listen, they always play Georgia tough. Jordan Hare is a very difficult place to go into. So it would be a very typical Hugh Freeze thing to knock off Georgia and then lose to Mizzou or vice versa. So we'll see what happens over the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Alabama. Is it true? I've heard rumors, Pat, that Alabama pays child support to Kirby Smart. Is there any truth to that rumor?
Yes. Matter of fact, the DNA test came back, and yes, it is true. Alabama is the father of Kirby Smart and the University of Georgia. It's amazing what that number is. And over the course of the last 11 games between these two programs, I know Kirby was not involved in all 11 as the head coach at Georgia. But man, it's kind of like this mental block or whatever the case may be. But Alabama having an off week just seems to always shine under Kalen DeBoer, and they went in there with their head on fire. I will tell you this, Ryan Grubb, to me, the first half, I don't remember how many times, even when Kirby was the defensive coordinator at Alabama, I've never seen an offensive coordinator have somebody on the heels like I saw Ryan Grubb had him in Athens. Ryan Grubb called just an incredible first half. They had him off balance. My goodness, the Caden Proctor call on the screen pass, all that stuff. That's why Ryan Grubb came back to the University of Alabama, and that's why so many people around the Alabama football program is excited about the potential. No, it's not. Obviously, it's not Jalen Milroe at quarterback. It's a guy, Ty Simpson, who is as accurate as you're going to find in a college football quarterback. And then when you have all of the mixture of what Ryan Grubb was bringing to the table in the first half, I mean, that's a really great sign for Alabama moving forward. Now, I think they played a little bit too conservative in the second half because they didn't score anything, but they were just trying to hold on to that lead and dear life on the road in the SEC. So you can't fault them with that, but back to your original question, there's no doubt that many Georgia fans are now asking that serious question. We got to go to Bryant Denny next year, or are we going to see him again in the SEC championship game? Can we get over the hump? That's a legitimate question.
Mm-hmm. Well, credit big game to Boring. That's what I call him. But for winning another big one, he owns a lot of these elite coaches. So in theory, he is an elite coach, but then he loses it with, again, I know it's College game day. It's, this is potentially, I've heard some people, reputable people say this is Vanderbilt at Alabama is the best game of the week. But we can say that till we're blue in the face. I still don't think these Alabama players will get up for Vanderbilt to the degree they just got up for Georgia. And that's not to say they're going to lose the game, but what will be the reaction if they drop this one? And I don't think that's crazy because Vanderbilt's playing out of their mind. And this is the same coaching staff and the same players that got embarrassed at Florida State. I think the fact that they whooped Georgia makes that Florida State game or performance even more inexcusable.
Well, talking to the fans this week, yes, they're ecstatic. And the old 24-hour rule that Nick Saban always talked about, okay, we're going to enjoy this one, and then we're going to get back to it. The fans are the same way because the fans are concerned. And the reason why is because this Vanderbilt team is better than the team that beat them last year. And Diego Pavia is coming in here. You're going to look on the sideline. You're going to see Johnny Manziel, who obviously exercised his own demons at Bryant-Denny Stadium about 13 years ago. So, there's all this juju working against Alabama coming up this weekend. So, yeah, the fans literally, for the first time in my 30-plus years of covering Alabama and Auburn football, this is literally the first time ever that they have been seriously concerned about a Vanderbilt football game. And it's legitimate. And these fans aren't like going, oh, well, we're sort of worried. No, they understand that Vanderbilt is a good football team. And they're coming in here, a ranked team, undefeated. And they got a quarterback that obviously ran circles around you last year. So I think it's going to be a very, very intriguing game. And we'll see. Because if they do lose the game, Michael, not that the SEC race is over with for Alabama, but it's those questions that you just brought up, that underlining theme of why can't Kalen DeBoer take care of business? Being a double-digit favorite, that is, if you're looking at the point spread, that's the time that you load up on the other team because Kalen DeBoer has not done a very good job in that category when Alabama's taken the field against the opposition.
Yeah, and I've always been of the opinion, Pat, that players matter more than the coaches in college football. I still believe that to be the case, but when we're talking now in this conference with, so many of the teams are kind of muddled together, and I for the life of me, I don't know who the best team is. I think the coaching now more than ever is perhaps more important because the overall talent and the depth is not to where it has been due to the portal and NIL. And I think it's exposing coaches like Hugh Freeze and it's highlighting coaches like Lane Kiffin. Would you buy into that theory?
I 100%. Listen, we have to realize that teams aren't going to go undefeated anymore. Teams are going to lose games. This is the NFL. That's the mentality that you have to have in the NFL. And I'm going to give Kirby Smart high praise here, more so than any coach in the conference. After a loss, just like the other night, listening to Kirby Smart, it was like I was listening to John Harbaugh of the Baltimore Ravens. Because it's like, you know what? We didn't have a very good game tonight, but we can't let one loss turn into two losses. Like, we got to get back to the practice field. We got to correct some things. We got to move on because guess what? In the SEC, there is no more off weeks. Like, we can't schedule Mississippi State and Vanderbilt every week because guess what? Mississippi State almost beat Tennessee and Vanderbilt's undefeated. So everybody in this league can beat you literally. I know it's an overused cliche, but now it really is the truth. Anybody can beat anybody on any given Saturday. And that's where it's up to the coach to motivate those players to get good workouts in for the rest of the week. Because if you don't come into the stadium with the right mindset, it doesn't matter who it is, you could get beat. And then you're in a really a bad pickle with your fans and everybody else because you should have won that game.
Right. And case in point, if Tennessee makes a field goal, Georgia's 0-2 in the conference. If one of their offensive linemen makes a block against Bama, they're probably 2-0. I mean, it's literally one play here or there.
The margins, right, Mike, you're absolutely right. The margins are so close now because everybody's got talent. everybody's paying their players. You've got guys on every team. You got dudes. And so if you don't bring it every single week, you're going to find yourselves in a world of hurt when it comes to SEC standings. And so that's the biggest thing with these coaches now is the motivation of being able to make sure that your guys got their head screwed on straight and they have a good week of work to get prepared for the opposition, because it doesn't matter who. I mean, think about it, not only in the SEC, but how can you explain a team like Illinois that gets absolutely embarrassed in Bloomington, Indiana, gives up 60-plus points, but then they come back home and they beat a top 25 team in USC? I mean, it happens every week in every league, and the SEC now is no different than anybody else.
Right. And so how big of a decision do we have here in Fayetteville? Because talking about coaching getting exposed, I'm contractually obligated, Pat, to say Sam Pittman, a lovely guy, great guy, rooting for him. But, you know, he's got exposed here the last couple of years for what he is, at least in terms of coaching. But if Arkansas does not get themselves a really good coach, you know, I think they're going to get left behind. Will Arkansas, do you think, commit to doing what it takes to get a big time coach?
I think they will. And the reason why, I talked to a couple of people in Arkansas, and they're really obviously pointing to just like the Calipari hire in basketball. They have an opportunity here to go big. And for them to go big, that's because you heard Hunter Yurecek give these Little Rock quarterback club speeches talking about how, you know, from a football standpoint, like, we compete in baseball and track and now men's basketball, but we're just not competitive in football. Well, the reason why is because you don't have a big time coach. And because you don't have a big time coach, it's very difficult for you to raise the funds for your football program to go out and get NIL. So with that being said, I personally believe that they are going to swing for the big time. The last thing in the world that they need to do, Michael, is to rehire Bobby Petrino. That would absolutely be horrible. I don't care if he goes 7-0 the rest of the year. Bringing him back, the wolf in the hen house, like they did with Sam Pittman, we all knew what was going to happen, and we all knew that they were going to put the interim tag on Bobby Petrino. Do not forget what Bobby Petrino did. I know. Listen, this is where you got to be careful. Hugh Freeze got hired at Auburn because he had two wins against Nick Saban in 2015, 2016, around that time frame. Okay, good 10 years ago. Bobby Petrino, yeah, he won double digits at Arkansas, what, in 2010, 2011? Like, why are we trying to go back and recapture this magic moment in time? The game has changed. And Bobby Petrino, yeah, you got Talen Green. And I know Michael said that he was the greatest quarterback in the SEC since Archie Manning before the season started. It just hasn't worked out that way for wins. But I'm just saying, that would be going backwards. I think Arkansas can do better, and I think people in Arkansas are committed to make that next step. I think they have a real good opportunity here, to Michael, to get back into the game, because as everybody has proven, if you've got money in the NIL, you can go fix a roster and you can be competitive pretty quick.
Hey, Talen Green looked really good against Arkansas State. Don't forget it.
Yes. Yes, he did. Is he still number one on your quarterback list? I haven't seen that.
He's fading. Okay. But okay. I'm hopeful that Bobby can turn it around right on that motorcycle. Hey, how about Ole Miss? Matt, I believe.
Hotty Toddy.
Yeah, I mean, I believe that's your alma mater there. And man, Lane Kiffin.
It's not my alma mater. I'm a good UAB guy here in Birmingham. But my sister went to Ole Miss, and I got a bunch of relatives that played and is on the all-century team there at Ole Miss. So, yeah, so I've got a lot of powder blue in my family. But now, listen, what a great win against LSU. Not really sure what's going on with LSU and Nussmeier and the running game for LSU. But, you know, historically speaking, that was the kind of game that honestly Ole Miss would lose. But by them winning that game, you know, they still got to have their head on a swivel by some of these games later in the season, because we saw what happened last year against Kentucky and later on against Florida. But I think Ole Miss is in a great spot. And when you've got two quarterbacks that, you know, when Simmons is healthy and due back, but man, what Trinidad has been able to do at quarterback, it has been really remarkable considering where he came from and what he's been able to do being plugged in by Lane Kiffin. So I think Ole Miss is real. I think Ole Miss right now, as of this week, I think, to me, they're the number one team in regards to who potentially can make the college football playoff in a league that, as you said, Michael, it is wide open for anyone.
Yeah. So, I mean, does that mean that you believe are the best team, or is that just because they're 3-0 in the conference? I mean, we haven't even mentioned Texas, Texas A&M, Missouri, Tennessee, perhaps. I mean, it literally could be any of six or seven teams that is the best.
Correct. And it's not because they're 3-0. It's because based on what I have been able to see from the product for Ole Miss, I would put them in my power rankings, if you want to say. I would say Ole Miss is currently number one on that list. Now, there's plenty of football left to be had, and there's no doubt in my mind whether it's Mizzou going to be, you know, undefeated, you know, whether they knock off Alabama at home, and then all of a sudden then they got Auburn, and, you know, what's going to happen there? Then all of a sudden Mizzou is going to skyrocket up that list. And, you know, Tennessee, that's a good win to me by Tennessee at Mississippi State. I think Tennessee's got a really good football left in them. LSU, can they get the running game? Can they get that turned around? Texas A&M, my goodness, what they've been able to do at South Bend and taking care of Auburn over the week. So, you know, Mike Elko's getting ticked at the media because we're not giving them enough credit. So it goes without saying, we can go on and on, Michael, about this conference and how many teams. You could have me on next week, and you and I both would be probably 360 on a lot of these teams and talk about, you know what? That team looks like it's heading in the right direction. So I think we're in just for an incredible season, and it's going to be very topsy-turvy for a lot of programs.
And then final football question I wanted to ask you, Pat, the Florida job. I mean, it's a matter of if not, you know, when, not if. But Billy Napier, let's say he gets let go. Do you think it's more likely Kiffin or Drinkwitz takes that job? Because personally, I think Drink is more likely to land in Gainesville.
I agree with that, and here's why. We had Ryan McGee on our show last week, and if you watched the ESPN piece on Lane Kiffin, just it was outstanding. And you know, Ryan McGee told us during the interview, we asked him straight up, said, "What was one thing that you learned in this project that you did not know prior to you putting it to film?" And he said, "I did not realize, you know, I always thought, okay, well, you know, Lane Kiffin is basically a vagabond, a gypsy, someone that's going to be moving around a lot in the coaching world. But Ole Miss has been so good for him personally and his life that he doesn't see him leaving Ole Miss." So, yeah, a couple of years ago, I would have been in the same camp saying, oh, he's going to Gainesville. You know, he's heading over there. But instead, I think he's found his niche. He's found his home. His family's happy. He's happy. His health is great. I just don't see him leaving Ole Miss. Now, Drinkwitz leaving Columbia for the resources, the recruits, and everything that he would have in Gainesville. I agree with you, Michael, 100%. If I'm a Mizzou football fan, I'm extremely concerned, because when Napier does get the axe, which it probably will happen sooner than later, I think Drink is going to be probably high up on that list, if not number one.
All right. Final thing I wanted to ask you, Pat, because you're my go-to in the SEC. Do you have your sunblock already purchased? Because apparently we're heading down to Tampa for SEC media days. What in the hell are they thinking with that one?
I'm kind of speechless, Michael. Maybe somebody is a fan of Busch Gardens, amusement park, roller coasters. We had a basketball tournament there sometime back, and I remember it really wasn't well attended. And I know it's us media slugs, you know, I mean, they don't really care what we say or where we go or what we do, but it's bizarre. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I'm not speechless a lot, Michael, but I don't know.
Well, I've officially become an.
What's your feeling? What's your feeling?
I'll let you know. I've officially, in my mind, become a old SEC media guy, because I'm sitting here saying I'd rather go to Hoover than damn Tampa, which I heard that for years, and I just laughed at those guys. But hey, I'm right there with them. I mean Hoover does the event right. Tampa makes no sense in any regard.
I'll just say this. Atlanta, perfect sense. Nashville, great town, great venue, Vandy, Tennessee. Dallas, you could have made that argument because of Texas coming in the league. Texas A&M, throw them a bone. Okay, get it. I heard that New Orleans was on a short list potentially, but some things from the convention bureau, some things possibly did not work out. The calendar was just not cohesive, whatever the case may be. That would have made sense. Tampa doesn't make sense. I do not know. I do know the individual cities. I've been told by certain people that certain cities bid on the opportunity to host the event, just like any major city would for a convention. And this is an SEC convention, basically. So I assume Tampa, because of the facilities and because of their bid, whoever else was trying to get it fell short and mm-hmm. Tampa won. So I don't know, and they don't care. I'm sure that SEC Media Row, people like me and you, that's going to be bulldozed, that it's going to be probably about 20% of what it was in Atlanta and what it was the year before in Dallas and the year before that in Nashville. But, it's just bizarre. I would have given you a list of five other places around the Southeastern Conference footprint, including St. Louis, Missouri, before I'd have given you Tampa, Florida.
Well, my big concern now is I'm going to lose Cousin Shane for half the event because he'll be posted up on the beach with a couple of beers.
Either that or he'll be at Busch Gardens riding the big rides or seeing the giraffes and all that stuff. I mean, well, seriously, I mean, were you shocked by that? Did you like do a double take? Like when you saw the release, did you go?
Yeah. I mean, Tampa? I thought it was like an April Fool's type deal. I mean, it just makes no sense to me.
The release looked AI. at first I thought it was a joke. I thought somebody, it was like one of those videos of you see after press conferences where Kirby says something that he really didn't say. And I'm like going, well, that's an AI graphic. That's not really a sandcastle of the SEC logo and stuff like that. But I was like, oh, it's real.
We should have known something was up, though, because they always announce it during media days. So the fact that they kind of waited so long for the next one, I don't know. I just thought something was off with that.
Hey, listen, you and I are obviously not in the focus groups for SEC media days on what works and what doesn't work. But I guess you and I and Cousin Shane and Landrum and Conrad and the rest of the gang at Three Men Front, I guess we'll just have to pony up to a sports bar just like we did in Atlanta this last year. And then, hey, as long as there's cold beer flowing, I guess we'll find a place.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it, Pat. Thank you so much for the time. Before you go, can you tell our audience how to follow you and how to find your show?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're on every day from 10 until 2. JocksFM.com is the website. You can download the Jocks 94.5 app. You can listen to it leisurely. Watch the show on YouTube, and you can follow me on all my social media. It's at Pat Smith Radio.